Oh, whoa. Who are you?
I'm Julie from 4 months in the future.
Actually? Are you here to tell me what's gonna happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because of the butterfly effect, I can only really give you some loose details, but we'll go through the basics, yeah.
Okay.
You are gonna wanna pull all your investments.
What?
Yeah, just, yeah, get everything out of the stock market. Get it all out.
Oh, it's a recession.
You know what? Put a little money in Zoom.
Isn't that a conferencing app?
Yes, trust me.
That's my fellow Canadian, actor, writer, and comedian, Julie Nolke, performing in her extremely popular YouTube video, explaining the pandemic to my past self. And describing it as extremely popular is an understatement. That video has received more than 21 million views. By the time the show is over, we'll probably be up to 22 million. Julie plays both her current self and her past self in the video. I think it's fair to say that the future looks very bright for Julie's future self. She joined us from her Toronto home to tell us why she was reluctant to post the video in the first place.
I didn't think it was very good. I'm obviously not a great judge of my own work. My husband and I had that kind of ongoing joke through our house for a couple weeks at the time. And I was like, oh, I mean, this is a video. But of course, the joke was over for me because we had said everything we wanted to say in our house. But I guess it wasn't over for everybody else. I guess it was new and relatable.
Yeah, obviously it was very relatable. So it sounds to me, based on what you just told us, that you have a very loud inner critic. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. I think that I always want to push myself and challenge my own work. And if I feel like something is a little safe, like that video I felt at the time, then I'm definitely insecure and self-conscious about it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of touched on it there, but I wanted to ask you a bit more about the origin story for this video. You mentioned it just a moment ago, but can you kind of flesh out how you came up with the idea?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, if you can recall, let me take you back in time. March of 2020 was a very, very strange vibe, if you will. Pardon my use of the word vibe, but I need it. There were so many unknowns. We had no idea what this thing was. We just knew that people were getting really, really sick. It was like slowly infecting the globe. And people were behaving in really, really strange ways. I mean, if you remember, like, toilet paper was flying off the shelves.
While we're being proactive here, actually, if you could just do a Costco run real quick, that's going to save you a lot of hassle.
Costco.
Do you have any hobbies? You know, just something to keep you busy?
Not really.
You should get a dog.
I want a dog. You know I want a dog. I just, they're a lot of work, and you've got to walk. You've got to go outside with them twice a day.
Right. The walks are going to be clutch.
Right. But, I mean, I have to leave them because I have so much travel coming up.
It was just such a weird thing that collectively, globally, we were all sharing. I can't think of a time in my life where it's like the entire world was on the same page. And so, you know, we had this ongoing joke in my house of like, God, can you imagine? Like, I had trips planned. Like, I had work trip planned. I thought my year was going to look like this. I never expected that it would feel like the apocalypse. And so that's kind of the birth of the video, was just this idea of, wow, little did we know how foolish and naive, sweet summer child, you had no idea what was coming your way. And then, we turned that into a video.
You've made 5 sequels to explaining the pandemic to my past self. Can you talk about how the storyline develops over the 6 episodes without revealing any spoilers?
Well, it's been out for a few years. I feel like I can reveal spoilers, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, originally I didn't anticipate that there were going to be other iterations of the video. I had no intention, but of course, stuff started getting crazier and crazier. And how could I not go back to that format, you know? And I think people really wanted it.
Everything's the same.
What?
It's the same. It's all the same as from the beginning.
That's not possible.
It is.
Wait, what happened with the vaccines?
New variants. people still not getting them. Countries still don't have access to them, and the booster coming a little bit too late.
I feel like this is very predictable.
And yet here we are. Yeah, season three, I'll be honest, it's not been as good as season one and two.
But yeah, as more things came to light, whether it was, you know, the horror that happened to George Floyd or, you know, the storming of the Capitol, all these things kind of led me to going back to that device and reanalyzing it.
Yeah, which is some, as you say, that was something we were doing. There would be a demand for it because the first one was just blew up and went viral. And also it was something that went on for a couple of years. So it made total sense to do that.
Oh, yeah.
In the summer of 2021, you auditioned for SNL and you've posted a video of the characters that you performed. It is hilarious, really.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you for creating it and coming up with those great characters and great impressions. We especially love your impressions of Winona Ryder and Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag. How did you come up with those two impressions?
Oh my gosh. Well, I really appreciate you saying that because I've never considered myself an impressionist. I mean, the audition is such a privilege to get, and I put a lot of work into it. I only had 2 weeks to prepare. And so I had made this video to send into SNL, and then, you know, a couple months later, I just wanted to post it because so much work went into it.
You can either go one of two ways, north or south. One is going to take you longer.
I absolutely love the office. It sort of makes me laugh. I'm Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and I am auditioning for the role of Jim.
There's kind of a mandate for what you prepare. You need original characters, topical characters, lots of accents. Show as much as you can in 5 minutes, and lots of impressions. And impressions aren't really my forte, so I went with characters that I feel like I know really well. I feel like they're easy to kind of isolate their isms, like Winona Ryder. I look a little bit like her. She's got these like big doe eyes and kind of a tight mouth, and I was able to kind of replicate that. And then Phoebe Waller-Bridge has a hilarious accent to me, like the way she speaks and shakes her head and then looks into camera. I just found those ones kind of easy to isolate and put into the audition.
The audition. I've got to start using that. That's very good.
The audition.
Yeah, the audition. But with all due respect, you are an impressionist, in my humble opinion. You were so chameleonic in the video, and you were not hired for SNL, though. What was Lorne Michaels thinking? I don't think he was thinking.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think he was thinking. No, yeah. I got a really, really wonderful complimentary email back because I asked. I was like, anything I can do differently for next year? And they just said, nope, just send in another one. They loved what I had, but I think they just had probably a lot of submissions of very talented people. And of course they want a lot of diversity on the roster, and they want people from, you know, totally different backgrounds and whatnot. And I think I just kind of was similar to what they already had, which is totally fair. It's important to get diverse voices in there.
Yeah, that's true. That's good that you have such a good attitude about it. Do you have a video, besides the pandemic videos, do you have a video that you've posted on YouTube that you are most proud of?
Oh, that's a great question. The ones that I'm most proud of usually are ones that are not very special. It's usually ones where, you know, I had a lot of writer's block, or I was totally burnt out and I managed to push through and create something. There's one called The World's Worst Foley Artist.
I am known in the industry as a foley purist because I do not use the main, the big studio or the many tools to make the sound, to make the foley. I do one tool in my toolbox. And that is my mouse. Crunch, crunch. Flap, 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 flap.
I was tired of making stuff for YouTube, and so I wanted to really push myself. And I said, well, whatever I do, it's going to be with a French accent because I want to get better at this French accent. And the whole thing just about is improv. And I was very insecure and very self-conscious, and I just kind of pat myself on the back because I was brave enough to make it. Halfway through, had a bit of a meltdown because I was like, this is absolute crap and nobody's going to watch it and everyone's going to hate me for it. But I made it and posted it, and people really responded to it and liked it. That one in particular I'm proud of because of what was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Thanks for sharing that with us. You got to turn down the volume on your inner critic. It's holding you back.
Oh, I know, but it's like how could you not? Like, the inner critic is responsible for making me better.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I can't be blowing smoke up my butt the whole time.
I get
too big for my britches.
Yeah, we don't want that. Yeah, and it causes you that having an inner critic means that you don't settle for something that's
it's not certainly
up to
a balance.
Usual standards. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Our fellow Canadian Bruce McCullough of the Kids in the Hall hired you to act in the CBC television sketch comedy series Tall Boys in 2019. What did Bruce think of your YouTube videos?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you bring him up because, when he hired me, he didn't know about YouTube at all. And,
really?
and you can ask him. He actually said to me, "You're going to be a star," and I was like, "We're already best friends." And so we worked together on Tall Boys. And then somebody says, "Did you hire her because of her YouTube channel?" And he said, "What YouTube channel?" And he goes and watches it. Sure enough, about a year later, he messages me and says, "We have to make a show together." And I said, "Is this a joke? Is this for real, Bruce?" He was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And we're currently in the process of developing a show. We've been working on it for the last year and we're about to go into pitching and it's really good. And I'm so excited. And I hope networks are interested in the way that we are because a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it. But I'm really optimistic.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Hope that happens. Yeah, most definitely. Can you tell us anything about it, like in terms of genre? Is it going to be like a situation comedy, a sketch comedy series?
I can certainly tell you about genre. I can't tell you like details about characters.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
But okay. It is a dark comedy. It's a plot-driven dark comedy, not a sketch show. I really, both he and I wanted to make something that, had authentic civilian characters who were flawed, who felt things, but also, you know, in a very, very comedic way. Both he and I have made a lot of sketch and we wanted something that, you know, was a little more true to life. And that's kind of the path we went down, but it is very funny.
Well, it has to be if both of you are involved.
Yeah. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Thank you for sharing that with us. Bruce has described your approach to comedy as ferocious. What do you think he means by that?
I think he's referring to I'm a bit of a workhorse. I have a very diligent schedule, and I'm a firm believer that while you can wait for artistic inspiration to hit you, you're also responsible for putting yourself in situations where you are more susceptible for artistic inspiration. So I'm very diligent about a schedule. I'm very diligent about writing. And it's almost mechanical in a way. And that in that way, I'm able to create weekly sketches that are new and original and funny with unique characters instead of kind of just waiting for the inspiration to hit, I think is what he's referring to.
Very well said. Yeah, that's very well said. And I can totally see that. That makes total sense. I understand that you're a big Edgar Wright fan, and we are too. We had him on the show a while back to talk about his Barks documentary. Has his work influenced your comedy writing?
I mean, Edgar Wright is an absolute genius. I aspire to do what he does. I love his way of genre bending. And that's ultimately the type of comedy that I see myself making. He's so great at balancing quippy, dry humor with slapstick and physical humor, but also creating characters that we really, really deeply care about. Mm-hmm. And in terms of longer form shows, content, movies, that's what I ultimately see myself making.
Yeah, and you mentioned genre bending, and he invented the rom-zom-com, the romantic zombie comedy with Shaun of the Dead. So, yeah, I can see why that would appeal to you.
The rom-zom-com. I've never heard that. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
But you're so right, yeah. And then what would you call Hot Fuzz? Like the buddy cop?
Yeah, cop, buddy cop. There's not a catchy way of doing it. I mean, you can't do a cool rhyme like we did with rom-zom-com.
No, they did
with rom-zom-com, buddy cop. Cop
action, action comedy.
Yeah, something. We'll come up with it as soon as we end the interview. You or I, most likely you will come up with it.
Yeah, deal.
I think that's how it'll work. Yeah. So what is next for Julie Nolke besides the dark comedy with Bruce McCullough that we hope is going to happen and being on the, I guess it would be the 49th season or would it be the 50th season of SNL?
Oh, yes, you know. Yes. Oh, I what? And I am auditioning this year. I'm already preparing
my tape. Well, I would hope so.
Yes, yeah. I am. And all new characters, baby. None of the
right.
old ones are
coming.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
looking forward to that. Great. So, yeah, that's going to keep you busy. You have a lot going on, don't you?
Yeah. It's all fun yeah. stuff, though. It's all silly.
Yeah.
I have the best job in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would say you do. Julie Noelke, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on all of your success, and we're looking forward to everything that comes next.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Julie Noelke is a Canadian comedian, actor, and writer. You can watch her videos on our website, wpr.org/beta.
Like, nobody had a therapist that I knew when I was growing up. So there's no one for me to call and get the advice of how to protect myself and how to protect my brain.
Coming up, podcast host Van Lathan joins us to talk about his memoir, Fat, Crazy, and Tired. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.